fluff, insubstantial, sugary sweetness. That's what Christmas sometimes feels like. Sure, it's lovely and soothing. In the heart of winter barrenness, how reassuring to hear a story of birth and new life. But this stuff about a baby's coming, a virgin birth, all mixed up with the little drummer boy and Santa thrown in, there is something about the way we celebrate Christmas, both inside and outside the church, that does not satisfy. Is Christmas the cotton candy of Christian holidays? Now, I am no Scrooge. You won't get a bah humbug from me. But I long for something meaty, something more meaty than colored lights and a short-lived but quickly forgotten feeling of festivity. I need Christmas to be something more, especially in these difficult days. Also, a painful question nags at me. It's not just that Christmas can feel insubstantial, but I fear that the way we celebrate this holiday often subverts its true meaning. Christmas has become a festival of consumerist frenzy, of purchasing goods beyond our means, leading significant proportions of the population to fall into significant credit card debt. Which raises the question, which God are we really worshiping? The Christ child or capitalism? Perhaps like me, you sometimes suspect that when we weren't looking, someone swapped out the baby Jesus and replaced him in the manger with the golden calf. Unbeknownst to us, we end up celebrating a capitalist Christmas that has little to do with the sleeping child in a Bethlehem manger. But this year, things have gotten even worse. At least Christmas meant real time with family, biological and chosen. However awash in gobs of stuff buying we might find ourselves, there is still the genuine joy of being with loved ones. But no, as you know, not even that is entirely possible, as Omicron has forced many to modify or cancel plans. Our seemingly never-ending struggle with a Greek alphabet of variants is further complicating what is already a lonely holiday for many. Now, right about now, you may be second-guessing why you bother showing up for this gloomy sermon. And those watching at home may be tempted to change the channel. Maybe you can still catch a little bit of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. You know, the one where Linus gives that wonderful sermon on the true meaning of Christmas, the one he gives right after dropping his blanket and just before he resumes sucking his thumb. And you might be thinking, well, that's a better Christmas sermon than this one. I don't doubt it. I, for one, believe that Linus's sermon beats most of the Christmas sermons I've ever heard. But stick with me a little longer. I begin on a somber note because I don't want to evade, repress, or deny what some are really feeling. Sadly, Christmas is a painful time for those who struggle with depression, loneliness, bereavement, or alienation from friends and family. I suspect that some associate Christmas with a kind of airy giddiness precisely because we are trying to cover over the pain and find consolation in spectacle and manufactured exuberance. Please know that at St. John's, you have permission to feel whatever you're feeling. We require from you no mandatory false Christmas cheeriness. And it would be good to remember that conditions under which Jesus was born were grim as well. If you think ours is a grim time, and yes, you have reason to think so, do remember that Israel was then laboring under brutal Roman occupation. Every aspect of life, from taxes to the census to religious life at the temple, was under vigilant imperial scrutiny, lest anyone begin to dream dreams of liberation. And these people, Israel, had a troubling propensity to dream radical dreams. Their core story is about an oppressed people escaping Pharaoh's grip under divine initiative. So it is hardly surprising that Rome kept a close watch on them and regulated their lives in exacting detail. It was just in this brutal world that the Word became flesh and lived among us. This broken down world, distorted by greed, corruption, indifference, cruelty, and the struggle to survive amidst imperial occupation, into this world came the world's own maker. Not an emissary, not an angel, not some superhuman but less than divine creature, but God, God's self. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What an astonishing story. The world's very maker, the one through whom all things were made, enters this fragile and fleeting world as a helpless infant. Despite the brokenness of the church, despite all the ways in which the church has itself wounded the world that God so loves, the church continues to retell this topsy-turvy story about God's radical love for this world, that no matter how messed up, plague-ridden, and impure the world may be or may seem, in God's eyes, this very world remains beautiful and precious. Not one thing in the world, not a single thing, is unfit to bear divinity. Not a backwater, no-account town among an occupied people, not the manger filled with hay for cattle, not Mary's womb, not the bloody mess of birthing, not this flesh. To say the Word became flesh is to say that God bestows an absolute and unequivocal yes to the created world. Oh, he'll say no later to the ways in which we wound each other, but God's first word to us is yes, an embodied yes. The Christian gospel does not affirm that God loves the world from a distance, contrary to the divine Bette Midler. God's yes, God's love, comes in the flesh and as the flesh. No lesser intimacy will do. No remote control loving. No thundering transcendence from on high. But the infinite becoming finite. This is how God loves. That is the Christmas story. And maybe, just maybe, if God loves God's own world like that, in and through and as flesh, if God says amen to us by embodied participation, maybe we can learn to love the world again, too. To tell you the truth, it is no simple business loving the world. There's so much cruelty in it. Our enemies go to great lengths to make it hard for us to love them. And so many display callous indifference to the suffering of others. Some days the world seems like an endless circulation of misery, of hurt people hurting people. But in the eyes of the infinite, everything and everyone, me, you, our enemies included, are all beyond price and worthy of love. What does it mean that the Word became flesh? What is flesh? Dirt, water, bone, blood, breath. God becomes matter. That is another way of saying that the world's creator becomes the world in the incarnation. God hallows the earth and renders it holy. No matter how broken or marred this fragile and vulnerable world is, divine love does not despise it. Love embraces the world by becoming the world. In so doing, God affirms the radical holiness of earthly things. Some secular thinkers refuse religion because so much of religious life strikes them as escapism, a flight of the alone to the alone, an attempt to reach escape velocity from this precarious life with its mundane struggles and jarring pain. That is why the philosopher Martin Haglund says no to religious faith and calls instead for secular faith, in which this life, and that's the title of his book, This Life, is intrinsically valued for its own sake, not as a dry run or a rehearsal for some more important eternal life elsewhere. But the miracle of Christmas is that for God, there is no more important life than this, our earthly plane. By Haglund's definition, God's faith in the world and in us, God's faith in us is secular faith. Our faith is in God, but God's faith is in us. Human beings may be religious, longing for the divine, but God is secular, loving and longing for this fleshly life, so much that God becomes meat, incarnate. Knowing some of you as I do, you might be thinking, John, I don't know what to do with the Gospel of John. It's not the pre-existent word I care about, but the historical Jesus, the one who comforted the brokenhearted, who embraced the poor, those who mourn, those who are despised. This dust-covered, itinerant Jewish preacher, that's the one I love. You'll take Luke's Jesus over John's Jesus any day. Fair enough. By all means, continue to love that Jesus. There is no other Jesus worth loving. But do ponder what an astonishing thing it is that within a generation of his crucifixion, his followers came to see that executed roadside rabbi as the human face of God. Do you want to know what God is like? Early Christ followers said, if you want to know what God is like, look at the character and intensity of this Jewish man's way of touching, embracing, consoling, teaching, and healing. Look at how he loved us. Do you want to know what God is like? Then look at the company he kept, the time he spent time with, tax collectors, prostitutes, the stranger, the leper, the foreigner. Look at the quality of his forgiveness and his inexhaustible compassion, even for his enemies. So Christmas is just the Christian way of saying that Jesus' way of being in the world is God's way of being in the world. If you want to know what God is like, what God is up to in the world, Jesus is the key. That is what it means to say the Word became flesh and lived among us. So what about us? What shall we do now that we have beheld God's glory in the flesh? There's only one thing to do. Love the world as God loves the world. Open our eyes once more to the world's finite and fragile beauty, despite the ways in which we have marred it. Learn to care about the world's struggles and make common cause with those who strive for justice and care for the natural world. Work and pray lest our hearts become hardened. Refuse to take refuge in cheap indifference. Be a Christmas people by committing ourselves to a tender care for earthly things. Long for no other life in some other world, but labor instead for the life of this very world restored to a measure of healing. If you do, if we do this, if we become one flesh with this world that God so loves, then Christ will be born in our hearts today, not just in that manger 2,000 years ago. May it be so. Merry Christmas.